This is the official podcast for casual anime fanatics. On today's episode, we discuss the highly anticipated anime called Solo Leveling. This is episode 3, titled, It's Like a Game. Hello anime fans and welcome to That Anime Podcast for casual anime fanatics, where we talk all things anime in a fun and uncensored fashion for your listening pleasure. I'm your host Jordo, and today it's just me. I usually have my co-host and Ken on the podcast with me, but due to some scheduling conflicts, doing the solo pod again. So this marks the third time I've had to do an episode like this. Thank you for everybody for continuing to tune in despite losing the conversation style format, but I assure you, I'm going to do the best I can to make this episode just as good as they always are. This is episode 3, It's Like a Game. If this is your first time ever tuning in, welcome to That Anime Podcast. For the next several weeks, we're going to be providing weekly podcast episodes with deep discussions and a spoiler-free format for this manhwa turned anime. And if you do like what you hear and end up tuning in every week, I invite you to write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify or wherever it is that you listen. Please know that these reviews help us reach more casual anime fanatics just like yourself. As far as anime news goes, that's usually Colton's segment, but I did see somewhere that one of the MAPPA, I think it was the director that did Attack on Titan. I'm pretty sure he's going to strike out on his own. He's leaving MAPPA Studios to start his own. And God, wish I had the news on me, but I'm sure Colton's going to bring it up next week. But I remember that the name of his studio was pretty sick. God, it's killing me that I don't remember. This is why I should have wrote this stuff down. I usually don't have to worry about remembering any anime news, but that was one thing that stuck out to me. As far as what I've been watching lately, pretty much just Mash Lee, Solo Leveling, and there's one other that I'm forgetting, I believe. Oh, I think it's just that I'm reading the Boruto manga, which I've talked about in past episodes. Anybody that likes to read mangas, I highly recommend that one. It's not to be compared to the anime. But without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into this episode. Here's the synopsis according to Crunchyroll. Jinwoo remains behind in the temple dungeon to save his few surviving party members. And with a swing from the god statue's blade, his life comes to an end, or so it seems, before he wakes up in a hospital bed. So, the episode started off with kind of a recap of, you know, his suffering just before his death. Pretty gruesome stuff. He's getting tossed around like a rag doll. His leg had already been chopped off. He loses an arm. He gets stabbed through the chest. He's like crying blood. And all of these statues have, like, surrounded him as he bleeds out on this altar. And then he says, if I had one more chance. And then he gets this notification, congratulations on becoming a, and in all caps, or wasn't all caps, it was bolded, a player. Unlocking some kind of mystery. So he wakes up in the hospital, and he's wondering if it's all a dream. Because he does remember losing his arm, he remembers losing his leg, he remembers being stabbed through the chest, but his whole body seems to be intact. So at this point in the episode, he doesn't necessarily remember that he got a notification to become a player, which is pretty... I feel like if you were to die, you probably wouldn't remember every detail leading up to it because it's like happening so fast, but you would definitely remember getting your freaking foot lopped off. I mean, especially... Maybe not his arm, because that was happening during the beatdown, but like his foot getting lopped off, that was just when he was making it to that singing statue. That axe just came right down on his ankle. But he wakes up in the hospital, and we see these two guys from the Hunters Association surveillance team. We got two of them. The first one's name is Wu Jinchol. He's the one with blonde hair. And then this other guy with purple hair, His name is Kang Taishik, which, man, Kang, that's a freaking sick name. I'm pretty sure that's a Marvel character. I'm pretty sure that's the villain's name from the newest Ant-Man. Yeah, I'm actually positive it's Kang. But these two, for some reason, they were giving me like main, not protagonist vibes, but like these guys are going to be in the story. Wu Jingchul and Kang Taishik. They seem like they're going to be good guys, and they're going to be following the story that is Solo Leveling from like an outside perspective. They walk in, they tell them that they're from the surveillance team, and then the opening song plays. Great opening song. I will say I do think I like the ending song better. But one, you know, positive that this opening song has is I feel like this song by TXT or Tomorrow and Together, it's almost exclusively in English. Like, I listened to it, I don't think I heard any Korean whatsoever. I'm pretty sure the whole damn song is in English. So that's kind of cool. And it was definitely created specifically for this anime, because they're talking about leveling up, swinging swords, you know, the works. So hats off to TXT. It's definitely a banger. It's growing on me. Not that it was like a bad opening to begin with, but it's climbing the ranks. It's still just not hitting the same as Kickback or Specials or the JJK opening from this season, but it's got time to get there. Turns out that Sung Jin-woo, our main character, he's been unconscious for 3 days. So Song Chiol, who is the raid leader, that got devastated by these god statues, we learn that, you know, him and Jo-hee survived, but since he lost his arm, he's basically, I don't think he's being forced to retire, but he's going to have to retire because he can't fight with one arm, apparently. And then Jo-hee, she's alive as well, but the traumatization that she experienced from seeing so many people get killed and going into this dungeon has led her to be in like severe psychiatric care. And I'm not even going to say she's weak-minded. I mean, if this world did exist and you went into a dungeon thinking it was going to be a D-rank raid, you know, kill some goblins, get out, make some money, and then your literal entire party gets wiped out with the exception of the two cowards that ditched on the little sacrificial circle, and then yourself and the guy that carries you out of there after knocking you out with a judo chop, yeah, you'd be a little traumatized. I know I sure as hell would be. But these two guys, Kang and Wu, they're suspicious of how Jin-woo, a E rank, like not even a D rank, he's so an E rank. So it's S, A, B, C, D, and then E. He is an E rank hunter. How the hell this guy survived this, and they called it insta-kill beast, which is pretty tight. Apparently they sent the White Tiger Guild in to this dungeon after hearing from the survivors that they needed to send some people in there quick. So they went in, and all that the White Tiger Guild found was Jin-woo laying there on the ground, but there was no sign of any statues, no altar, no door. It was all gone. Like, they packed up their carnival circus and they just got the hell out of there, which is curious, definitely curious. But I did note when they showed Jin-woo laying on the ground here, his foot and arm and all of his wounds were already healed. So it was not the hospital that healed him. They basically just found him unconscious. I think he did have some blood on him, but like his foot that got cut off, it was reattached, but the shoe and the sock were gone. So I'm pretty sure how it worked is as soon as he clicked yes to becoming a player, it made him whole. All the statues disappeared, and it like warped him outside of that dungeon back to where they originally were when they were fighting the goblins. Just a guess, though. Wu Jingchul asks Jin-woo if he's experienced a second awakening. This is the first time we're hearing about this. And basically, a hunter's power is determined upon awakening, and it never changes from that point on. But on rare occasions, a hunter can go through a second awakening. It lets them exceed their previous limits and rise to A or even S rank. And as a viewer, I'm pretty sure the first time I watched this, I was thinking maybe he did go through a second awakening and this guy knew what it was, like becoming a player, but I definitely wasn't surprised to learn that he was still an E rank. So they pull out this mana meter. He puts his hand on it. He's all pumped, like, holy shit, I got a second awakening. Am I A or S? Tell me, what am I? And then Kang and Wu see that the number this guy pulls on the mana meter is a 10. And so they immediately, like, I think we were mistaken. And they just leave. And on the way out, Kang says to Wu, even E ranks usually manage higher than 70. He's basically just a civilian. Which leads the question, when we get the flashback to the lady telling him, congratulations, you're a hunter. This lady, why would you give this guy hope? Like, he's so incredibly weak. Why would you give this guy a knife and tell him he can go in dungeons and best some goblins? If 70 is, like, the bar for an E rank, don't let a guy who comes in on a 10 on the mana meter go in there with a rusty blade. It's just crazy to me. Like, it's a little bit of a loophole. They would have at least been like, yeah, you qualify, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend you going into one of these dungeons. Like, the weakest people we ever send in are 70. You just pulled a 10, man. But they leave, and Jinwoo is sitting there wondering why they didn't ask him about this thing floating in front of him, which is like the notification box you get when you're playing video games. And it says that he has an unread messages. And then this is whenever he recalls seeing the notification box back before he died. So he's starting to remember, oh yeah, I've seen one of these before. His sister Gina shows up, and really all that I feel like her arrival at the hospital was supposed to do was to confirm to us viewers that, and to Jinwoo, that nobody else can see these notification boxes, and for her to tell him how to access unread messages in a game, which is like to open your inbox. And then I also have a theory that the girl in the hallway, who was in episode 1 as well, the friend who was talking shit on our boy Jinwoo, saying she can do better, I have a theory that she is also already a player, and maybe she was outside the door and had that look because she could see the notification box. I don't know. Something's going on with this girl. Like, why are you always hanging around? Why you always look like you're up to something? And what's your interest with our boy Jinwoo? Jinwoo Sung. But that's my theory, is that she's also already a player, and that she could see the notification box floating above his hospital bed. So we learn Jinwoo has daily quests. It says this system is designed to assist with the development of the player. Failure to comply with the system may result in a penalty. The rewards have been delivered. So he's got a strength training daily quest. And they got my man doing the One Punch Man workout, 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, and a 10-kilometer run. And I don't know if this is just like a normal... See, like, at this point, like, I thought that was kind of unique to One Punch Man, like that workout. But maybe this is like the standard issue Japanese, like, hero training regimen. I don't know. Like, I'm sitting here wondering, like, do we have anything like this in the U.S. that's like... standard? Like, I don't know. If you do think of something that exists here that's pretty standard like this, hit us up in the Discord, links in the show notes, because I'm really wondering, like, is this a nod to One Punch Man, or is this just a Japanese thing that, like, at the bare minimum, that this is what people in Japan do as a workout? 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, and a 10-kilometer run. And even just saying that now, I know is wrong, because I know there's that YouTube guy that set out to do the One Punch Man workout for, I think he was going to commit to 3 months, and I think by like day 10, he was like having nosebleeds from running too much and not giving his body rest. So it's actually a pretty intense workout regimen. And then it says, warning, failure to complete the daily quest will result in an appropriate penalty. right when I read that, I'm like, oh yeah, we're getting a penalty for sure. Because I had a feeling he wasn't going to do it, and he proved me right. So now we go over to Guildmaster Choi and Chaw. So Choi is the red-haired dude wearing the red suit with glasses. And then Chaw is that S-rank hero who saved the girl in the street from her purse getting stolen in episode 1. So Guildmaster Choi tells the S-rank fighter Chaw that he would like her to act as an instructor for the next B-rank raid. She's like, I don't know how I feel about being an instructor. And he's like, you'll do fine, just fight like you usually do. And then he goes on and says, the Hunter's Guild is one of the 5 largest guilds in the country. But on an international level, we're unremarkable. And while individual ranks can't be increased, our collective combat ability can be honed, so that we'll be ready when the time comes. And as viewers, I don't believe we're supposed to know what he's talking about when the time comes. I mean, it sounds like he's implying something like there's going to be a battle royale between the guilds. I don't know, because we have Guildmaster Choi, and then we have, well, I think he's the only Guildmaster we know. The other guy is Chairman Go, and he's the chairman of the Hunters Association. So maybe the Guildmaster Choi is like the Guildmaster of all hunters? I'm not really sure. Either way, we have no idea what he's talking about when the time comes. I'm sure we'll find out soon. So now we get to the penalty part of this episode. So he chooses to ignore the daily quest. His time runs out. And his penalty is that he gets transported to basically another dimension. It looks like the desert somewhere. And he has to survive for 4 hours while these gigantic sand scorpions chase him. And while I appreciate the penalty aspect of this, I do wish it was something a little bit more realistic that he had accomplished. Like, they kind of implied that he was sprinting in sand for 4 hours running from these scorpions, which anybody who's ever tried running in sand alone knows, no, that's not happening. And then two, sprinting for 4 hours, even if you're on hard ground, it's not happening either. Like, I don't know why it bothers me. Like, I get that this is fiction, but I mean, there's no way he would have been able to sprint and run from a sand scorpion for 4 hours in sand. But he does. He ends up surviving to the very last second where he was about to die. He gets transported back to the hospital. He's looking like pure death. The nurses find him. And then the next day, he's all better. So we go over to Juhee. And she decides she's going to go visit Jinwoo at the hospital because she gets a call that he's been awake. So she's going to go see him. And this was a weird part in the episode for me, because she's like excited to see him. She's like looking down at the flowers she's bringing him and smiling. And then all of a sudden she hears the nurses talking about how Jinwoo is training in the courtyard. And she gets all weirded out and discouraged and decides to not see him. So like, I watched this episode twice. I'm not sure what the deal was. Was she wanting him to be psychologically traumatized as well? Was she just upset that he was training and that implied to her that he was planning on still going into dungeons and she's worried about him? I don't know. Either way, it's like, you're still not going to go say hi to the guy. He literally gave up his life to save you. You could at least be like, hey man, thanks. But I'd appreciate it if you didn't go into dungeons anymore. But this is what the nurses say. Or no, this is what Jinwoo was saying when he was running laps down in the courtyard of the hospital. It's been 4 days since I regained consciousness. I figured out a few things. First, I'm not hallucinating these windows. When I complete the daily quest, I get 3 types of rewards. Full recovery. All that exhaustion is gone in a flash. Next is ability points. Upgrading my abilities makes me that much more powerful. I can literally tell I've got more strength now. I've also got these skill and inventory screens. My world's taken a real turn for the strange. And then he says out loud, it's like a game, ha ha ha. And everybody in the courtyard is like, what the hell is this guy laughing about? We're all here seemingly dying at the hospital, and this guy's laughing, saying it's like a game. And then he says, "And my final daily quest reward, the random loot. I wonder what it'll be today." So I will say, everybody else has probably noticed as well, every episode so far has been named something of a quote from each episode. So if I had one more chance, it's like a game. I don't remember what. Oh, I'm used to it was episode one. So just know, like, next week's episode is titled "I've Got to Get Stronger." So we know he's saying that next week. So little spoiler alert for everybody that hasn't figured that out. But we do get his current stats. So these are the five stats that he can add his points to. So every time he completes a daily quest, he gets three. And he can add them to one of these five categories: strength, agility. One of them said PER, so per, and then it had like a head with like sound waves coming off of it. And man, I cannot guess at what that would be. Personality, perseverance, perspiration. God, if you know it, hit me up in the Discord, because I have no freaking idea, and I stared at this for a while. The next one is vitality, which is, you know, health. And then the last one is intelligence. So everything is at level 10, with the exception of strength, which is at level 22 after he gets these 3 points. So he's been putting every single point he's got over the last 4 days onto strength, which I probably would have been doing too, because I'd be mixing it up between agility, strength, and vitality probably. But eventually, you know, when you get strength strong enough, go ahead and load down your intelligence too, because damn, it would be helpful to be smart as hell in a world where you're fighting all the time. Some Shikamaru level planning. His loot box, this time he said, is usually just like random stuff like badges and keychains. He gets an instance key, and it's a key for teleporting to an instance dungeon. And it says it can be used at exit 3 of the Hopjong subway station. And then we go and see the news. And basically these gates that pop up, they literally just pop up anywhere at any time randomly. So in the middle of streets, people's homes, parks, subway stations. And it's clearly a huge menace to society, because you could just be driving to work one day and a freaking gate pops up in front of your car and you're like, shit. And then they literally have to redirect everybody, block off the area, hire out a guild to come in and raid this dungeon. So yeah, if you're not a hunter, these are massively inconvenient. You're just trying to freaking go to work and you got gates popping up in front of your damn car. I'd be like, screw this, I'm becoming a hunter. It's like the equivalent of road work. It just never gets done. Just, it's always in the way. And then we get the backstory of Jinwoo's mom getting sick. So we learn that her disease is called the Eternal Sleep Disease, also known as Final Rest, which is kind of scary. It's a disease that came into existence with the appearance of the gates. It affects roughly one in every several 10,000 people. So one in every several 10,000, I'm thinking that's like at least every 4 10,000, so one in every 40,000 people. And the theories are that it's caused by continual exposure to mana. In any case, the best that modern medicine can provide is life support. So Jinwoo, he's working construction, then he just drops his sandbag and realizes, you know what, screw this, I'm not doing manual labor, I'm going to be a hunter. He goes, takes the hunter mana meter test, he pulls a 10, the lady's like, congrats, you can be a hunter, dude, even though you're weak as shit. He's like, sweet, goes home, tells his sister Gina, I'm going to be able to pay for mom's operation. This is going to be great. And then we fast forward and he's getting messed up by some goblins, and some mean guys in his party are like, why are you always slowing us down, you damn E-rank? And for the record, if you don't contribute, you don't get a cut. And Jinwoo turns around smiling. You can tell he's already a defeated man at this point. And he says, I'm sorry for being so useless. So this is what's kind of been eating up Jinwoo for the past several years. So now we go back to present Jinwoo, And he says, I'll put my ability points into strength. And they show us his stats. Last time they showed him, he was at 22. Now he's at 31. And he's so strong now that he's able to crush an apple with his bare hands. And I know for certain I can't do that. But I'm sure that there's people, there's definitely people on Earth that can crush a, you know, a ripe apple, like explode it. I don't know if they could explode it, but they could certainly crush one. But I think that that implies Jinwoo's stronger than the average. He's no longer a civilian, or basically a civilian. The dude's crushing apples with his bare hands. That's like some Guinness World Record book stuff. That's like the guy who can rip a phone book in half. That's another day at the office for Jinwoo at this point. And I do wonder if 31 strength is like out of 100, or if that goes to like 300 or what. But I'm sure we won't find that out for a while. So he decides he's going to hit up this instance dungeon. And his plan is, it's not really a risk, because if it gets too dicey, he's just going to run. Get the hell out of there. Turns out that it's in another dimension, so there's no way out of this, it says, unless you defeat the boss or to use a teleportation stone. And so since he doesn't even know what a teleportation stone is, basically his only way out of this is to beat the boss of the dungeon and clear the whole dungeon. And he walks down, and at first it's three goblins, which I was not surprised. I knew it was going to be some freaking goblins. It's always the damn goblins. And these ones, you knew they were born fighters because they had the freaking Trojan haircuts. The old the old Mohawk Trojan haircut that honestly is like, when I don't even think people in real life have these things, to be honest. But if somebody did, I would only think it was to be sarcastic. But sadly, it is a pretty cool, like, for a helmet, it's a legit haircut, but as just like that's your hair, I wouldn't recommend it. Not unless you're a cage fighter or like fighting in the Colosseums. But hey, if you are listening and you got a Trojan haircut, more power to you, dude. Rock it, or girl. Fucking do it. Why not? So he ends up fighting off these Trojan-haired goblins. And at first, he's kind of fighting like he still can't beat them. And then he realizes like, oh shit, I'm strong. He stabs the first one. I think he cuts the second one's throat. And then he literally cuts the third one in half with a knife. So you're going from crushing an apple bare hands to slicing a goblin in half with a knife. I mean, cut through the spine and everything. And both arms. Ribs. That's pretty strong. So yeah, he beats the goblins. And then he senses something else, and turns out the next thing he has to fight is a steel-fanged lycan. So it's like a wolf, and it's got the jaw of the armored titan, or it's got the jaw of the jaw titan for some fangs, only the bottom half. He realizes his legs are shaking, so he's still scared. And the episode ends on, honestly, a pretty big cliffhanger. Like, when it ended, I couldn't believe that the episode was over. I didn't realize it had been moving that fast. This thing lunges at him in midair. It looks like Jinwoo is like about to crap himself out of fear. And I don't know. I mean, he's definitely not going to die next week, but I'm wondering if somebody's going to save him somehow, or if he does die, but it's going to be like part of the lesson is like, you dumbass, don't go into an instance dungeon, you know, without preparing. Like, you get one more chance. Here's the instance key back. Don't come back until you're ready. I don't know. It doesn't seem like he's just going to all of a sudden be able to stab this thing, but maybe he is. I'm very curious to see how this is going to play out with the steel-fanged lycan. But the ending song, it starts playing, and man, I really like the ending song. Like, this song's getting played in my car for sure. Like, I can hear it in my head. I'm not even going to attempt to sing it. It's on that anime playlist if you've got Spotify. And I just like the paranoia of the ending. It's freaking, it's just a cinematic masterpiece. Running down some long hallways, watching screens, watching them change. Very, very paranoid. I'm here for it. Next week's episode It's episode 4, and it's titled, I've Gotta Get Stronger. So, that makes me think he's gonna lose. He's gonna lose to this steel-fanged Lycan. But if he did, honestly, if he does lose, I think it'd be cool, because I would like to see, what are the rules with the player? Like, can you die? And it's just, because he's in another dimension, it's like, this is a game. So are the stakes real? Or are the stakes just like a game where you just start at your last spawn point? So I'm sure that we're going to figure that out. Maybe it's that you lose all of the points that you've gained up to that point, so his strength would go back down to 10. I don't know. But either way, it seems kind of like easy that he gets 3 attribute points every single day when he does his daily training quest. I mean, 3 points every day, he's going to be at a level 100 strength in a couple weeks. But it's not for me to decide. Whoever wrote this manhwa, it's up to them. So far, I'm loving this anime. I am glad that we decided to do deep dives on it. Next week, we will have episode 4 of Solo Leveling for you, and we will also be doing our anime openings and endings episode, best of 2023, so be sure to tune into that. I've got nothing else other than to tell everybody, join our Discord. It's in the show notes. We're trying to liven that up again. And I'm Jordo. My brothers are usually with me. We're the Casual Anime Fanatics. Thank you all for listening. Have a great week. And as always, peace out.